everybody, and welcome to today's episode of the Pathvalvi podcast. This week, we're going to take a look at a topic I think that's very important at the moment, and this is the importance of attitude. And you know, attitude makes up a lot about who we are. If it's about happiness, it's about choosing to be happy. And you know, happiness is, by the way, is the new currency. It's about humility and actually practicing the aspects of humility, which in turn is all about our ego. As well as this, you know, more so than ever in the stressed out world that we live in today, and I really understand that, we also have, as part of all of our attitude, is about the attitude of caring. Now, if you don't care, you shouldn't actually be bothered turning up anywhere. But it's very important for caring for family, caring for yourself, caring for the community, caring for the country, caring for the world. And, you know, more so than anything in the problematic world that we're living in today of stress, caring has become very, very important. And of course, when you talk about attitude and the happiness, it's about trying to create laughter, even in situations that are really, really dire, because it's enacting all those muscles in your body that actually, you know, creates the oxygen to 7 billion cells in your body. Now, more so than ever, it's about, you know, thinking outside the box. You know, like in the world like of COVID, or in the world of, you know, bankruptcy, or in the world of in your own head where you feel completely stressed, then it's always about thinking outside the box. And when you think outside the box, it's, you know, fantastic to try to just step that little bit outside to keep yourself, you know, emotionally happy and to regain that attitude. Okay, so what I want to do today is I want to talk about the importance of attitude, because attitude creates everything about us. You know, it's about the negativity, the positivity. It's about our attitude towards a person, indeed, the attitude towards ourselves, a group, a situation, or an event is based on how we, that's me and you, elevate and react to whatever or whoever we are dealing with. And this can range anywhere from extremely positive, which we hope to try to get people in, to what we would call extremely negative. And, you know, one of the most important things about negative and positive people is always try to hang around with positive people and then bring negative people along, because you are the average of the five people you hang around with. So if you hang around with five negative people, you're going to be the average of the five. If you're hanging around with five positive people, always seeing the bright side, always look on the bright side of life. I love that song because this is true. Always look on the bright side of life. Well, there are many elements that can influence our attitude, and we'll talk about that throughout the podcast. So our attitude, it could be to a specific situation. It could be about maintaining a balanced attitude in our day-to-day life. And all of this, I hope, will be very helpful in ensuring that we can learn. And this is like, it's like a muscle in itself, right? Okay, that we can learn the habit of positivity. So you might be asking, you know, why is it relevant and we're talking about this today? You know, attitude is playing a huge part in relation to having people de-stressed. And like, it could be as simple as breathing, you know, to get yourself into what we call the zone. But having a positive attitude or a negative attitude will reflect on everything, you know, about how you actually see life. If you see it positively, well, then you're going to be happier. If it's the case you see it negatively, you're going to actually be more negative, stressed, depressed, anxious, feeling fear. And this is what we have to try to do today. And to do this, you know, I'll take a couple of questions that I've been asked during the week about positive and negative energy and how that we can deal with this. And also, one of the great questions I'd ask, and I'll be asking of you here, and I just want you to ask yourself a question. And that question is, you know, how happy are you in relation to a percentage of 0 and 100%, or between 1 and 10? Now, myself, I would say, like, when I've been asking, some people think this is crazy, but, you know, I've spent a lot of time practicing this. You know, when people say, when I ask a question, they say, well, how happy are you, Pat? And without a shadow of a doubt, I can now, after many, many years of being, you know, fairly negative about my happiness, right? Okay, I can say over the years I've learned, you know, I'm probably 98% happy. And yeah, there's always going to be some part that's not happy. And if you look at that from our Buddhist philosophy, which I've taken up many years ago, it's nearly in nirvana. And I've done this because I've come to the realization, right, okay, at 64 years of age and getting older, that, you know, there's more years behind me than in front of me. So it's a choice I'm making to be happier. And happier is like a very important element in the sense of the only one that can make you happy is yourself. So the practice of how to be happy is very, very important. And I'm going to talk about a few things that I do myself in relation to making myself happier. You know, I've lost my businesses twice in my life. I've had to reinvent myself nearly 14 times, you know, from being a bricklayer to a builder to a climber to an adventurer, an explorer, went into filmmaking, went into actually writing books. And what I now find is that my 64-year-old self, looking back, like in my life, is I've learned a lot of attributes. And yes, it's attributes because life is about having attributes to enjoy yourself and how it creates happiness. And it, by the way, it's okay not to be happy and it's okay not to be okay. Like throughout my life, I've been not okay on a number of occasions, right? I have had anxiety, I've had fear, I've had depression. You know, all of those are okay. And there's not one person, by the way, listening to this podcast that won't have had those. And they could be triggered. You know, your happiness could be affected by a number of reasons. Lately, I lost my own mother. And, you know, so for a while, like, my happiness level went down, but it was only a week or two because my mom has always taught me, right, that life is a transition and it's about accepting the fact that life will go on and on and on and on and we're just transitioning through this life. And this is one of the reasons why I would think anyone listening like should actually think about the fact of, you know, we're on this planet running for a small period of time. So for me, the practice of happiness is in actual fact to practice gratitude. And gratitude reminds us of the value of who you are, what you are, and what's going on in your life. You know, so how happy are you? Yeah, just think about it. How happy are you? Put the figure down now. Now, it can range anything, as I say, from 0 to 100%. But most people, like when they think about it, there will be between 50% and, you know, 80%. That would be the average norm. And this has been detected scientifically. And there's countries in the world like Bhutan. It's actually, again, a Buddhist kind of philosophy country that where they measure their wealth. Yeah, their wealth in their happiness score. Because, as you know yourself, there's no use in having lots of money and then not being happy. And we all know of situations like this in relation to people that had lots and lots of money. And they weren't very, very happy. At the same time, like, you know, I've gone into third world countries and I see some of the happiest people in third world countries, right, okay, that are completely happy in relation to their situation, even though if it was us, I could imagine like we'd be completely stressed and unhappy. So happiness in one way or another has to do with gratitude. Yes, gratitude. And that's about being grateful for what you have. Another client of mine rang me a few weeks ago. He was really, really stressed and really, really depressed. And he goes like, you know, oh my God, he says, I don't know how I'm going to get through life and this is terrible altogether. No, understandably so. And he says, can I see anything happy about, or can I see anything positive about where I am? I said, look, you know, you've got to actually get this in order, because you just can't continue. You're a really good fella, like I said. And what is driving this? And he said, my job. And he said, things aren't going right. He said, I've just got through COVID. And he said, there's nothing positive. And I stopped for a second and I asked him to breathe. So he took a deep breath, you know, as our usual one, in for 6, hold for 8, out for 10. And I asked him, I said, how do you feel now? And he said, I feel calmer. But I said, no, I said, but how do you feel? And he said, what do you mean? I said, now you should be happy. And he said, why? I said, because you're alive. And the simple fact about it is, he went on to ask the question, like he said, how do you mean happy to be alive? I'm in a shit situation, right? So I said to him, think about it. I said, now let's take all the negative things and let's take all the positive things. Let's see what you're positive about, right? Now, he was a person in his 60s. So I said, tell me what you're happy about. And he said, nothing. I said, one sec. I said, do you have a family? He said, yes. I said, are you happy about your family? He said, yes. He said, I am. But he said, I feel like I'm a failure. But I said, no. We started working on the fact of, you know, what he was grateful for. Then he had some grandchildren. And I asked, you know, how was his grandchildren? Oh, he said, they're the joy of my life. And then I said, like, you know, how are things going with your wife? And he said, oh my God, like, I'm so happy about her because she was sick and now she's actually got through her illness. And so we kept on going. And then I said, so what is this and why are you, you know, feeling like he said to me he was suicidal. Now, suicidal is a very, very big word, and I've been there myself once where I try to take my own life through suicide. You know, so I know that even a person like myself at some stage or another can actually flip, and everybody can flip. And it's my mother taught me about this word called attitude, in the sense of, like, you know, I was only in my 30s at the time. And, you know, most people that are stressed at the moment and that are on burnout, like, believe it or not, and studies have shown this too, are between 30 and 45. So if you're in that bracket, you're in the biggest bracket where actually stress can get at you. And it's a matter of how you deal with that attitude. And the reason why lots of younger people take their own life through suicide is because of the fact they let their attitude, you know, get at them, and they feel a lowering of self-esteem. And in turn, sometimes they feel a failure, or they're burnt out at work, or, you know, they're not happy in what they're doing. So, like, my job, a lot of the situations in the workplace is to go in and try to find the connection between being unhappy with work. And by the way, when we talk about being unhappy at work and attitude, it's absolutely, like, you know, crazy in the world today. Like, in Japan, 80% of the people, you know, in studies have shown they don't like work. In America, it's something like 75%. And indeed, on all the rest of the world, it's becoming an attitude problem going to work. And this attitude is sometimes enforced upon us by, this is the way we should feel about work rather than feeling happy. And, like, this is a whole other topic that I would go into about, you know, being at work and your attitude to work, because you're working for, you know, like, a huge part of your life. And if you can't get this right, you are going to be stressed. You are going to be unhappy. You are, you know, going to feel, you know, absolutely shite when it comes to the like of that. And, you know, so I've been brought into companies, like, where I interviewed 2,000 people, you know, on a survey, and I will find out, like, that 70, 60, 50% of their people think that where they're working is crap. And yet they're going to do nothing about it. Now, my whole thing, that's about a change of an attitude in relation to your job. So I'd even ask you now, right, okay, how happy are you with your work? But how do you become happy? Happiness is a byproduct of gratitude. Like I was saying to your man, like, you know, he thought the end of the world was here, and yet he started identifying all the things he was grateful for. I was brought up in a family like where we had a lot of shit going on, in the sense that we had successes and failures, we had ups and downs, right? But the one thing that my mother always drove into me is try to get to a stage where you're happy and accept where you are. So therefore, if anything is going wrong, and this is just an instance about myself, because I can talk about myself, and I, you know, rather than anybody else, because I have been there too, right? Okay, the time I tried to take my own life through suicide, I was 29 years of age. I had two children, two lovely boys, Brian and Patrick, a lovely wife, the big house, the big car. And I tell you something for nothing. I was so unhappy because my business was about to be taken away from me. And I did try to take my own life through suicide. And it's then that my family came to have my back. And, you know, at the time, I didn't think of being grateful for these people that were there for me. But after my mother taught me the lesson about, and my father too, by the way, like, he's a great man, he taught me the lesson about you take things to its worst when it's at its worst. Like, for instance, during the COVID pandemic, there's nothing that me or you as an individual can do. Nothing, like. There is really nothing. And basically, it's, you know, now driving the fact, right, okay, of the loneliness, of the mental attitude, of the mental turmoil that's going on in people's bodies, right, okay, because of the fact we haven't accepted what we have to do to be able to get out of it. So therefore, when we're fighting this, it's going to make us unhappy. It's going to stress us. It's going to make us aggressive. And all of this will attack our inner 7 billion cells. And more so than ever, right? Okay, it's showing now, like, that stress can cause illness. So all of this is happening, you know, as I speak at this present moment. And I'm getting hundreds of phone calls, like, you know, at our coaching office here in Kerry, about people being unhappy and actually wanting to be happy. So the first thing we do is we say, you've picked actually the percentage of where you are with happiness and not happiness. So what I now want you to do is accept it. Just accept where you are. Because when you accept where you are and you bring it to the worst possible situation, there's only one way it's going to get. You know, loads of people just don't want to admit that they're unhappy or that there's problems, right? But when you accept where you are, it then takes a certain period of time to work up from that. So when you take things to its worst, there's only one way it should get, and that's better, right? There's only one way when you're unhappy that you can deal with it, is actually to talk to other people. And in talking to other people, you'll see you're not actually, or listen to other people's stories, because you will find you're not the worst in the world. If you think you're bad, there's always someone worse. So if you can actually get into your head to be grateful for the fact that when you get up in the morning and you go, I'm alive, I'm breathing. Now, what can I do, you know, in this day to actually enjoy it or accept the day for what it is? Look out the window and it's pissing raining. Go out and stand under it and say, isn't nature great? Look at the trees around you, the grass, if the sun is shining, feel it on your face. So now, like, you're alive, you're in nature, you will have stresses in your head that you're going to have to deal with. You know, if you're stressed, you're going to have to deal with it. You know, you just can't keep going. And look, I said it to you before, right, okay? I said it's okay not to be okay. So it's okay, just get it into your head. It's okay not to be okay. But it's not okay not to be okay all of the time, right? And if you are, I'm going to tell you this now, you need to speak to somebody. In actual fact, you could ring me if you want to. All the details, like, you know, are in my bio. But gratitude is so, so important. And I'll just give you some of the things that I do myself, just to tell you. I always, before I go to bed, say I'm really looking forward to getting up in the morning, right? Most people like dread getting up in the morning. But the way I look at it is, when I wake up and I go to bed with that, you know, thought of getting up, that a new day is going to be beginning, and I'm hoping I'm going to wake, because remember, there's lots of people don't wake. Lots of people die in their sleep. So therefore, when I wake up in the morning, I said, oh my God, I just hit myself and I say, fuck it. Sorry, excuse the language. I say, you know, I'm alive, right? Okay. Now what I'm going to do is I have only a certain amount of time on this planet Earth and I'm going to do my best to be the best that I can be in that day. Even if it's a case I'm in shite, I will try to see like the fact, yeah, I'm going to have to deal with that. I go to the mirror in the morning and, you know, I have up today, like it's like greet the morning sun or it's good to have a good day, right? Okay, I have it plastered on my mirror and I go look at myself straight in the face. And, you know, I always try to look at myself, you know, straight in the face and see what mood I'm on. Like if I'm negative and my shoulders are dropping and I can see. But I do something that, and I've written a whole book on this, by the way, about having the power. So I look at myself and I go, is that you, Falvey? Like, are you like, you know, man, spark up. And it's like giving myself a clatter in the face or throwing a bucket of cold water over me. And straight away, I look up, I put my shoulders back, right, okay? And it says, have a good day. And I say, I have the power. I have the power. I have the power to have a good day. And in that, I enact the endorphin of, you know, the positivity because of the fact that what happens, energy goes on where you're focused. So if it's a case that you can change your state and sometimes state, and I'll talk a lot about state in my future podcast, because state is in actual fact a frequency of which we operate. And that frequency can actually help us have a healthier, sustainable lifetime. But what's the other aspects of happiness, right? Humility, right? The practice of humility keeps your ego in check. And I'll just give you, again, I'll talk about myself rather than trying to pick someone else, because when I talk about what I've gone through in relation to ego, because I was, you know, I could say, people would say, like, Jesus Christ, he's some fella, like, you know, his ego is up his arse. Right. And indeed, there was times, right, OK, when I thought I had the Midas touch. Right. And I thought, like, frickin' man, there's no, like, you know, I'm one of the best in the world, until I realized, right, OK, that I'm a human being and that by having humility. Right. OK. So when I started looking back at it, I thought, like, when I was succeeding in my life, when I was that entrepreneur, like, you know, turning over at today's rate, 72 million when I was 21, I thought, like, I had the Midas touch and I wasn't a really nice guy. You know, I was an obnoxious, you could say, asshole at the time, until I realized that, you know, it didn't really matter to anyone. It was like, you know, the Dalai Lama has said, like, you spend your life making money to impress people that don't really care, and then you don't live in the present or the future, and you live completely consumed in your own mind. When in actual fact, I came to the conclusion after nearly going broke, and it did take going broke, and it did take, you know, depression, and it did take nearly taking my own life, and it did then take the time to think about the fact, Falvey, you're just a human being, right? And then I started to realize that I was this poor kid that came from a relatively poor background, lived in a council house with my grandmother. And then I started saying, oh my God, like how lucky I am in relation to doing this. And then I started realizing that I have two hands, two ears, two eyes, a brain, I have two legs. And then I decided, you know, that, you know, I'm not anything special. I started looking around the world and there were 7.5 billion people like me, all the same. So what was the difference? So I learned about the fact, and this is what made me happier as well, that here I was, and what I really am, and no matter what I've achieved in my life to date, I will always see myself as this poor child that actually worked for his grandmother that called him a bar of gold, and you could say it was child labour, that went on to become a bricklayer with a dream, and that have actually now, throughout my years, had a number of accomplishments, like from standing on top of the world, standing at the North Pole, the South Pole, you know, having lots of successful businesses. And by the way, when I say that, it hasn't all been about success, it's been about failure too. But I always realize that the person I'm looking at, and I'm here in my studios at the moment, looking out over the lakes of Killarney, I'm looking at my pictures all around the wall, and here I am thinking, of this 6-year-old or 15-year-old with a dream that had hunger, right? And I see myself like living in this council house, and that I had the ability to come from that to travel the world, 150 expeditions, travel to nearly every country on this planet, you know, live with 32 tribes trying to find out what they had. And, you know, it makes me feel so humble, but it also makes me feel you too can do it if you want to. Happiness has to do with caring. And I've learned this from walking the walk because of the fact that I was selfish, right, for a lot of my life. And it's a terrible trait, you know. And, you know, Marie, my wife, had said to me at one stage, we had separated now about 25 years, but she said, Pat, you never have gone on to be who you are unless that you were as selfish as you were. Yes, and it did cost me a lot. It cost me time with my children. It cost me time with my wife. And then by the time I got into my 50s, being this really ruthless, driven, you know, person, my son came to me and he said, Dad, he said, do you realize what you missed? We're very proud of you, but do you realize what you missed? And I said, what? And I said, sure, I didn't miss anything. Like, you know, you're very proud of me. And he said, no, Dad, he said, but you miss communions, confirmations, funerals, uncles and aunts that, you know, 2 years later, you didn't even realize dead, and you'd be asking their partners about where they are. And you just didn't even take it in. In actual fact, Dad, you're the most uncaring person that we know in one way and the most caring in another. Yes, I provided for them. I gave them everything that they wanted. There was no poverty because my whole belief was I'd be coming from a poor background. Like I was, you know, determined, like, you know, that my family wouldn't be poor. But poor is a different thing to different people. The poorness that I had left them with is I didn't give them my time. So he said to me, Dad, he said, you know, now that you're about, like, you're still alive and your parents are still alive and everything, can you not actually just take it easy and spend more time? So I started thinking about that and I said, frick it, man, I better do that because, you know, it wasn't creating, it could be a percentage of my life that wasn't making me happy because I wasn't caring. I didn't even realize that. And this is where the elements of happiness starts to go up. And like what we're talking about is we're talking about attitudes, gratitude, humility, caring. All of these buys into the bigger aspect of attitude. So on that note, I changed my lifestyle. And remember, it's never too late to change. Never too late to change in the sense of no matter what age you are, right? Okay, if you're 80, you can actually change your attitude. You can become more caring. You can actually become more active. There's loads of stuff that you can do, but let me give you this, right, okay, in relation to caring. And this is where it came. It's when I came off of what we call the South Pole. It was an amazing expedition, like 60 days on the Antarctic, burning up 23 megajoules a day in energy, equivalent to 2 marathons. It was after completing 120 consecutive marathons to get to this. This is what the energy was burned out, our 2 Tour de France's. And I arrived back so proud into Cork Airport. And my son came around and he said that to me. He said, you know, do you know what you missed? And then when he told me, like, you know, that my parents were still alive, I was about to have grandchildren, I thought about it. And then I thought about a verse, which is very poignant. And if you want to listen to this, right, okay, just take this one in, by the way. It happens to people that become hungry, that become obsessed, and that do stuff but doesn't have a yin and a yang or doesn't have a balance in their life. And it's from Robert Service. He's an amazing poet. And it's the words in it that resonate with me. And see where you fit in this and see where you fit at the end verse of this, right? There's a breed of men that don't fit in, a breed that can't keep still. So they break the heart of kit and kin and they roam the world at will. They range the field and rove the flood and they climb the mountain's crest. For theirs was the curse of the gypsies' blood, for they don't know when to rest. Well, that's a good one, isn't it? That was me. Yes, that was me. Selfish, self-centered, you know, obnoxious, asshole. Yeah, you can, ego-driven. Yeah, I'm guilty. I've done all of that. But, you know, sometimes it takes that to become successful, right? Okay, I'm not saying it takes everybody that. But I'll assure you, lots of people that are successful have given it all, right, okay, to achieve what they've achieved. But anyway, after saying that, like I thought about it and Like, I was in my 50s, it took me a long time to get the family back and, you know, us having what we call a family life. And I thought of the inverse and it went something like this, right? And it's never too late to change. This is the point I'm making, right? Okay. If I had continued, this is where I would have ended up. If I went through to my 70s or 80s, right, okay, I would have missed a lot more than what I have now gained, again, to increase that happiness percentage in me that nearly puts me in nirvana today. Mom and Dad were still alive. As I said, I just lost my mother. Like, whenever you're listening to this, but you can take it, like, everyone is going to lose someone along the time. A couple of weeks ago, and I nearly lost Dad. But I've had, like, you know, 10 or 12 years of being very happy and content with them. But here it is, the verse. Think about it, if it didn't change, right? Think about the fact, if you're in a situation like that, you have the time to change, right? And you might have a time to increase your happiness by another 5 or 10%. Okay, here it is. Robert Service again. He has failed, he has failed, he has missed his chance, he has only done things by half. Now life's been a jolly good joke on him and now it's time to laugh. Ha ha! He is one of the legions lost. He was never meant to win. He's a rolling stone and bred in the bone of the man that didn't fit in. Yeah, and that was me. So I decided I would fit in. And indeed, you know, I got such great pleasure out of the fact that I became more caring. Instead of actually having the biggest dreams that people can have, and I still have them, by the way, one of my greatest ambition was to become the best grandfather that I can be. And in that caring, and in the fact I have lovely grandson and a granddaughter, right, okay, to see them hug me, right, okay, which if I kept going, they'd never have done it anyway. So it's always about, you know, trying to increase your aspects in your attitude to the things that will make you happier. And in turn, of course, like what that's done, it's made me laugh a lot more. I was always very serious about things that I would do in life. And again, I'm using, you know, like what I want to do is I just want to take out my, I want to give you my flaws, right? I don't want to pick anyone else's flaws for this point in time, because every single one of you, by the way, we're all the same. We'd have all gone through like different aspects and different levels of this attitude, this stress, this, you know, negativity, this positivity, this family. Most of us will have a family. Like, if you don't have a wife or kids, you would have had a mother or father or a grandparents or something like this. So, like, all of these are coming into the buying in of happiness. And I've learned this because of the fact I've spent over 60 expeditions and treks into the Himalayas, Nepal and Tibet, learning like the philosophy of life. Like, as I said before, I'm a Catholic, like that's actually have Buddhist philosophies. So I now care more about my philosophies of life as I get older. But what it's also done is it's brought me around the aspect of having more fun. You know, laughing at situations. Like, as I listen here, I can hear the wind howl outside. I don't know whether you can hear it here or not, like over the microphone, but there's a certain beauty. And, you know, I just see a hare just passing my window there and overlooking out over the green fields of North Kerry, just to let you know where I am, because it stimulates me as well and it makes me happy. But, you know, laughter. You know, like, in other words, like, say, for instance, I used to always look at academic programs and things like that. My whole life was consumed with being serious, probably, about where I was going in life. And now I laugh more. And what I also found about is that your brain is amazing. For instance, if you're looking at a murder film or a drama, it actually takes you into a different state, and that state can change your attitude. But if it's a case, I look at a lot more comedy kind of shows now, and I also like look at a lot of more stuff that's uplifting that I can laugh at. If I was to listen to the news all the time, I'd never laugh, because all they do is keep on pumping out bad news, bad news, bad news. And our brain is psyched to the fact of taking in bad news. And bad news, by the way, if even if you're going through this pandemic and you keep listening to the freaking news, like, it's going to put you in a bad state, even if you're a positive person. So it is important to have that balance. We need to listen to the news, but we don't need to listen to it like 14 times a day. We don't need to be listening to negative articles and reading 22 negative articles in relation to what we can read on one. But we need that balance in our life, and we need, you know, to feed ourselves with laughter if it's the case we can. We can see the funny side of it. You know, one of the greatest things I have found about laughter is I've been so lucky, like, you know, like people were saying, you know, about being a grandfather, that I worry, was it making me old? I said, no, like, it's making, like, you know, and I'll talk about that another time, about your mental age, your chronological and biological age. But like the simple things even my grandchildren do, and it's putting me around to watch other kids as well, it can make me laugh at times, the things they get up to. Laughing improves your quality of life and it bonds you with others. Did you ever see now, even if I start saying, oh, let me tell you a joke. What happens is people's brain actually clock into the fact of the laughter, and it actually sparks them up a small bit. So it works an endorphin in you. But if I said, like, you know, the things are very bad at the moment, the world is falling apart, it's going to blow up, I'm going to take a conspiracy theory, we're going to be hit by a meteor, you know, it actually changes your state. And most of all, that I've learned in my life is you and I, in the world we live in today, have been put in a box. Yes, everybody wants us all to think the same, whether it's governments or whether it's religious orders or whether it's, you know, teaching in the schools, which I have a big problem with, which I will be discussing a lot more, because they told me I was a dope when I was 14 years of age, like, and I never make anything out of myself. So I want to tell people, right, if it's a case that you're feeling anywhere like that, you have to step outside the box. Now, stepping outside the box, right, okay, isn't an easy thing to do. But if it's a case you can step out of the box when you get stuck in your attitudes that no longer serve you, and practice thinking outside of the box. And, you know, every time I think of that, and, you know, part of the thing that I'm on at the moment is you have to move. And like every hour I move about 250 steps. It's what we call just moving. So I just stand up and I'm walking in place. I hope that you can't hear me. But in actual fact, as I'm talking to you now, I'm just going to complete 250 steps. Now, you might ask, how am I going to complete 250 steps? By the way, I have a Fitbit. So therefore, it's because an alarm goes off every hour to say, get up and walk. Now, what I'm doing, I'm shaking up 7 billion cells again by oxygenating them, right? Okay, so here I am. I'm walking away. You can't even hear me. But yes, I'm standing and I'm walking. I'm thinking outside the box. I'm not standing, looking at my computer. So therefore, what's happening is I've been oxygenated. Now, people say, like, but you're in your office. Like, I stand sometimes and I walk while I'm printing at my computer, right? Okay. So I'm actually thinking outside the box. When people say you should do 10,000 steps in a day, well, I can tell you I do at least 4,000 steps by getting up and walking 250 steps every hour by walking in place. And all I can say is I hope today that by listening to this podcast, listening to Pat Falvey, that I have given you a bit of hope in relation to positive attitude. So anyway, I was trying to keep this to 40 minutes. I think I've gone over. I hope that you do come back for more stuff, because my whole job in life is to serve, to help other people actually, you know, be the best people that they can be. So I'm going to finish up, and I'm just going to reiterate the subjects we talked about today. And one was happiness. So what did I say about happiness? You can choose to be happy. It's a choice, right? We are as happy as we will decide to be. That's a fact. Sometimes it is very hard to accept this is a statement, or that that statement is true, because if it is true, why don't we actually choose to be happy all of the time, right? So therefore, if you chose to be happy, there is a way to do that. The thing is, we forget that it is always within our power to make this decision. And then we don't make the decision a lot of the time to be happy ourselves. The practice of gratitude reminds you of the value of what you have. And in actual fact, most of us have a lot. Being grateful and thankful for what is good in our life is something we need to consciously and continuously practice, as most of us regularly forget to be grateful. You know, just think every morning about how grateful you are. We seem to be more naturally programmed to complain about that which we don't have rather than being grateful for what we do have. One word, grateful. Just think of something every morning. The practice of humility helps keep your ego in check. In the world that values and aggressively sells its own versions of perfection, the value of humility is often obscured and cast away. Many of us mistake being humble as having a low self-esteem and feeling somehow less than others. Just to tell you, it's bullshit. If it's the case you feel like that. The misconceptions come from a belief that ego is king and that we lower our self-worth if we practice humility. Humility, properly understood, is in fact a trait that allows us to value both ourselves and others equally. Very, very important. Caring. If you don't care, then just don't bother showing up. You know, in our increasingly individualistic and distractions-filled world, it is easy to give lip service to caring about those around us. Unless we genuinely care and genuinely are cared for, life can be a hollow experience. When we operate from a place of genuine care, it increases our connectedness to others. Now, laughter. Laughter improves your quality of life and bonds you to others. People want to hang around with people that are fun and that laugh and that aren't down all the time. It is said that a day without laughter is a day wasted. When we laugh, all sorts of positive things happen to us, even if we are faking it. Our brain doesn't know that we're faking the difference, and the action of laughing sends a message to it that releases endorphins that make us feel better. It's the happy endorphin. You know, fake it until you make it, and sometimes you'll even fool yourself. Celebration. Mark important moments and make positive investments to your memory bank. Now, I haven't gone a lot into this, but as children, we were always up for a celebration. It didn't matter whose party it was, what time it was, or who was going to be there. As long as there were games to play and sweets to eat, we were in. It's hard to pinpoint exactly at what time in life this unquestioningly acceptance of celebrating fades and disappears. But there is no doubt that by the time we are fully grown, we are no longer quite so ready to join in general celebrations. So like, celebrate your winnings, celebrate getting up in the morning, right? Okay, lads, come on, like, it's time to play. Now, 7, which I talked about, is thinking outside the box. When you get stuck in attitudes that no longer serve you, practice thinking outside the box. To make good progress, it is vital to have a plan, to be disciplined and focused, and to get rid of the distractions in our life. However, we need to remain open-minded. We don't need to be stuck in the box to the new and unexpected. You know, we're having lots of new and unexpected in the last 20 years, and especially ways to seeing the world that don't come naturally to us, leaving spaces for such influences to shape how we proceed. This involves learning to approach situations differently and to think outside the box than we normally think about. So they're the points that I was making today. But I just want to thank you for listening to another episode of the Pafalvi podcast. Now, as always, I hope there's at least one piece of advice you can take from this to help you to succeed. If you'd like to get in touch with me, I'd love to hear from you. You can find me on my Twitter account at Pafalvi, on Instagram at Pafalvi Explorer, or indeed come to my website, pafalvi.com, Well, until the next time, slánga fóill, Pat Falvey, over and out from the Mountain Lodge here overlooking the lakes of Killarney. See you all in the next podcast.